Well, I want to join in with Brother Moran in welcoming everyone here tonight. And we are thankful for all the members of the church. I'm thankful for the church here at Fairview Memorial. I'm thankful for the efforts that the church has put forth in the revival meeting thus far this week. And we are certainly thankful tonight, as we have been throughout this week, to have visitors with us. And we're just thankful that you were willing to come and to help us in these services. And we do want you to just take part, just feel at home and worship the Lord with us and work for the Lord with us. And we certainly want to try again tonight to reach out to those who are not saved. My heart is just filled with thankfulness. I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done for us thus far. And I feel just like Brother Moran feels. I'm expecting him to do much more. And we look forward and with great expectation and anticipation of what the Lord will do among us here this evening. I appreciate the good songs tonight. And Brother Strode, you just, song that you just led us in, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, you just couldn't have picked a better song because that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I always see myself, those things, as being providential. If I'm getting ready to stand before a congregation and preach from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I love it when the song leader will get up and sing Living by Faith. And I believe the Lord knows how to orchestrate our services. And we need to, we need to follow Him and listen to what the Spirit of God would tell us to do. Pray for me tonight. I'm going to try by the help of the Lord. I can't do anything without Him. Can't do anything at all that would benefit anybody in any way by myself. But I love given the fact that Jesus told us, He said, without me ye can do nothing. But the Apostle Paul also said, through Him we can do all things. And so I'm just leaning on the Lord tonight and asking interest in your prayers. I want to direct your attention to some scripture found in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. If you would care to read along with me, please turn to Luke chapter 1. And I want to begin reading and read a fairly short lesson beginning with verse 26. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come up on thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that's as far as I want to read. I'll stop my reading there with that 35th verse. And I have, again tonight, I have a title that I would like to use for this message. And it's the first words found in verse 32. He shall be great. I want you to think with me tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the one that there's no one else I'd rather talk about than Jesus. And I want you to think about what the angel Gabriel said concerning him. He was speaking in reference to the Lord Jesus when he made that statement. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And I thought about and tried to meditate today and pray about these scriptures, and I thought about how do I want to start this. And I thought that this thought came to me that I would put before you the question in the beginning concerning the statement that was made by the angel about Jesus. He shall be great. Was he right? Was the angel right in what he said? And I want us to look at that tonight and consider that tonight. And think about some of the things. Anyway, there's no way that I'll be able certainly to cover all of this, but to think of some of the things that the scriptures tell us about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, he's the greatest person that's ever lived on the earth. There's never been anybody else like Jesus. There are things tonight that I will be able, by the help of God and through the from the scriptures, to be able to say about the Lord Jesus Christ that just simply cannot be said about anybody else that's living, that ever has lived or ever will live. There are things that are exclusive to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just can't say them about anybody else. Some of those things we have already read about in these scriptures that I have read before you. The way that the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived, the way that he was born. You just can't say those things about anybody else. And there are, you know, there are so many things in the scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament, that talk about Jesus. And we know that the record that we have of his birth, we know is recorded in the Gospels. It's recorded in what we know as the New Testament scriptures. But I want to assure you tonight that Jesus did not begin at the time of his birth. Jesus already was. And the Bible tells us in the Gospel according to John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And I assure you that that was in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible refers to him as being the Creator. It said that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And John, in that first chapter of the Gospel according to John, John went on in that writing, and he said, I believe in verse 14, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when we read the account like what I have read before you tonight from the first chapter of Luke, and as I've said, it's recorded in the some of the other Gospels as well. But when we read about the Lord Jesus Christ being born into the world, we are reading that which has to do with Him being manifest in the flesh, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached on in the world, seen of angels, received up into glory." So I may not have quoted that exactly right, but Paul said God was manifest in the flesh. That is, He was made known in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is God. He is God. We find in also in the Gospel of John in verse 14, chapter 14, we find where the Lord Jesus Christ was asked by one of His disciples to show them the Father. "Show us the Father," He said. And the Lord Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you and you have not known? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." That's what Jesus was. He was God manifest in the flesh. And so as we think about that, we think about and we read about and we learn about Jesus both in the Old and the New Testament. He's all through the Scriptures. And John was certainly having reference to Him there as the Logos, as the living Word. And we find also when the Apostle Peter, and this is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, did the prophets speak about Christ? Did they talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did they prophesy that the Messiah was going to come? Well, certainly they did. I'm inclined to believe that all of them did based upon what the Scriptures say, because when the Apostle Peter was preaching that sermon there to Cornelius and his household, he was talking about Jesus, and he said, "To Him give all the prophets witness." And so the Lord Jesus Christ was spoken about. His coming into the world, His incarnation, Him being made manifest in the flesh, it was spoken of by the prophets. In fact, it was spoken of when you go back and you begin to, if you go back to the very beginning of the Scriptures, to the book of Genesis there, and begin to read, you won't get very far at all until you're reading about the Lord Jesus. He was among He was with God during the creation. The Godhead was referred to, in creation when God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." The Lord Jesus Christ was referenced there, and He has always been. He's always been. He hasn't always been in the flesh, but He has always been. Isaiah spoke of the Lord Jesus, and he was speaking to Ahaz. We find it recorded in the 7th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and he said, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." And if you go to the first chapter of Matthew and read Matthew's account of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world, he explains to us, he defines what was meant by that when it was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. when Isaiah prophesied that some 700 years or so before that it actually took place, when he prophesied that a virgin was going to conceive and was going to bring forth a son, and that his name was going to be called Emmanuel. In the gospel according to Matthew, we are told that the interpretation of Emmanuel is God with us. God manifest in the flesh. Isaiah also prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ in the ninth chapter of Isaiah. In the sixth verse, he said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And he said, "Of his government there shall be no end." Now, I'm going to tell you something right here. I hope it's my great prayer for you that are lost and without the Lord, that you'll find peace. That you will find peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And, you know, that's something that you're going to hear. Those who have a true experience of salvation and those who relate that experience to other people, when we are minding the Lord and doing what He tells us to do, when the Bible tells us, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," when the people of God begin to do that and they begin to share their experience of salvation with people, what is it that you always hear? You always hear, though our experience of salvation, you know, we may have been saved in different places under different circumstances, but the same ingredients are always there. We were under conviction of sin. We felt condemnation. And when the Lord Jesus spoke peace to our soul, that's exactly what it was. It was peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And if you want to have peace with God, you're going to have to come and get it from the Prince of Peace. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. Brother Moran made that known to us very well last night. He is Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. And He is the Prince of Peace. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ touched lives in His infancy. I mean, when He was just a baby, He touched people's lives. And I read this often and I think about it, and sometimes it's hard for me to even, read it or think about it without just getting very emotionally involved in it. But I think about that man that the Bible tells me about, that's also recorded in Luke's gospel, named Simeon. And the Bible says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You see, the Messiah, the Redeemer, had been prophesied. It had been prophesied for years and years and years that God would send the Deliverer, that He would send the Messiah. And Simeon was one of those that was waiting for that. He was waiting, the Bible says, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What he was waiting for was God's promise of the Messiah to be fulfilled. He was waiting for all those hundreds and hundreds of years of prophecy to be fulfilled. And because of his diligence in that, and because of his great expectation, I suppose, God had done Simeon quite a favor. He had bestowed a great blessing upon that man. He had sent the Holy Ghost to reveal it unto him that he was not going to see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise. And what that must have done, and how that must have made him feel in his heart when the Holy Spirit moved upon him and assured him of that, Simeon, you're going to see him. You're not going to pass from this earth until you do. And they brought Jesus when he was only 8 days old. They brought him there to the temple for the customs of the law to be carried out. And this man Simeon, he knew who that he was. He knew. He took that baby and he held him, and it gave him such great peace, and it gave him such consoling. He took that baby and he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. And that 8 day old child, I'm telling you, Jesus was so special. That child at the age of 8 days old blessed that man to the point that once he had seen him, he was just ready to go. I can go now. You fulfilled your promise to me. You have allowed me to see the salvation that was promised to come, and now I'm just content and I'm ready to die and ready to go. I'm glad Jesus came. I'm so thankful that he came. I'm so thankful for what he came to do, because he came to do what nobody else could do. Amen. Jesus was the only one. There was nobody else that could come and make the atonement for our sin. He was the only one that could shed the blood that would satisfy God. And the Bible tells us that in the Galatian letter, it tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Isaiah spoke also in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah prophesied about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke about the things that he was going to face and the things that he was going to have to go through when he came into the world. And I'm not going to go into all that, but I will say this, that the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus came to this world knowing that he would have to bear the sins of the whole world upon him. And the Bible tells us in reference to the sufferings of Christ there in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I'll tell you what, folks, listen. When God sent his son into the world to redeem them that were under the law, he was completely satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. God was so satisfied with his work. He was so well pleased with his son and so satisfied by his obedience unto the Father's will that the Bible tells us that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I'll tell you what, folks, when we take the name of Jesus upon our lips to even speak the name of Jesus, we ought to speak it with great reverence. It's a shame if somebody will use it to curse or to slur something. Jesus Christ has been exalted by God to the point that he has been given a name which is above every name. Every name. The Bible tells us also, I'll tell you how satisfied that God was with the work of his son. He was so satisfied with what Jesus did that the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God will not accept anybody. He will not accept one person in any way other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Listen, lost friend, if you're going to get salvation, if you're going to come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, you're going to come through Jesus, or you're never going to be able to come, because there is no other way. Amen. Jesus, speaking in singular tone, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." All of the years, I want you to think about this. All of the years, the things that were done under the law, the things that were done in the days of Moses, the things that were done in the years that took place during the time of the tabernacle and during the time of the temple up until the time that Jesus came into the world. All those years that God used types and shadows to show that he was going to send the one that would make the offering that would be suitable and acceptable for the sins of the world. All of those animals that were sacrificed, all of those animals that were brought there to the tabernacle and to the temple, and their blood was shed, and that blood was taken in, you know, beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies there. And the sons of Aaron would, the high priest would go in there beyond that veil, and they would offer up that blood there as an atonement for their sin and for the sins of the people. And they had to do it over and over, year after year after year. And in all of that, it never did take away their sins. The Hebrew writer in the 10th chapter of Hebrews told us that it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But I'll tell you what Jesus did. Jesus came and he offered himself one time. He entered once, the Bible says in the 9th chapter of Hebrews. He entered once into the holy place. And when he did that, he obtained eternal redemption for us. You know what? When Jesus was born into the world, the mighty angels of God couldn't hold back their peace, Brother Moran. They couldn't hold back their praise. They had to come, and they come, and they appeared to those lowly shepherds there in that field, and they said, "Glory to God, and goodwill toward men. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And it says when the angel came and made that announcement, that suddenly there was with him a great host, a great heavenly host, and they were praising God for what he had done, that he had sent the Redeemer into the world. The Bible tells me that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but God crowned him with glory and with honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The Lord died for you. Lost friend, he died for you. And he died for me. And he died as a man. He died in a body. He died in the flesh. He felt it. He felt pain. He had great physical pain. He had great emotional pain. But he died nonetheless for you and for me. Jesus came, he did his work, He did the work that God sent him to do. When he was finished, you know, I wanted to finish the thought that I had. All of those years, all the blood of those animals that was offered there in that Holy of Holies, beyond that veil, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, when he fulfilled all of the law and he died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible tells me that the veil there in that temple, starting at the top down to the bottom, it just tore in two. Listen, there was no need anymore for all of those types and shadows. That was all done away with. It had been fulfilled. The one that that was all about, the one that was typifying, had come and made the sacrifice that needed to be made. And there was no need for those things anymore. I'll tell you what, friends, we've got access to God through Jesus. Amen. Through Jesus. There's one God and there's one mediator. One mediator between men and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. When he was finished with his work, when he gave up the ghost, when he gave up his life, and they took him and they buried him, on the third day, he just got up from the dead. I mean, by his own power, he just got up out of the grave. He had made it known. You can find it spoken of in the 10th chapter of John. Jesus said, I've got the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up again. And that's exactly what he did. And when he had done that, after he had resurrected, the Bible says that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and then gathered one day with the 11. He just stepped on a cloud and rode it back to heaven. And there were angels standing there as they watched him go, and they said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, the same one, not a different one, this same Jesus which was taken from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Folks, he's coming back. He's coming back. One day, we don't know when it's going to be, but one day, the Bible tells me that stars are going to fall from heaven as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs. The sun's going to become as black as sackcloth of hair. The moon is no longer going to give his night. The heavens, or its light rather, the heavens are going to depart as a scroll, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, and it's going to be such an astounding event that the Bible says every eye is going to see him. And that doesn't only mean those that are even still living. I'm telling you, it means every eye. Everybody, if I'm gone, if I've been gone the way of the grave for many, many years, I'm going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Every eye will see him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. John said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And I'm going to tell you this, that my greatest expectation and the greatest anticipation I have of anything is when I get to behold the Lord Jesus Christ and see him face to face. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus for all of eternity. Was Gabriel right, Brother Strode? Was he right? When he said, he shall be great? Oh, you bet he was. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe at the time it was spoken that Gabriel was actually speaking in reference to him being great as a man, him being great in the flesh. Jesus was already great before he was ever born into the world. He was already great. I want us to sing. I want to say this. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I'm not talking about know about him. I'm not talking about knowing the facts. I'm talking about knowing him. I'm talking about knowing him as your Savior, having been born again. If you're here tonight and you're lost, let me tell you something. If you spend your life on earth and you don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have missed it all. You've missed it all. I've never known anybody like Jesus. Had a lot of good friends in the world, had good relatives in this world, had people that I've known and loved in this life. But Brother Lowe, I've never known anybody like the Lord Jesus. There's just nobody else like him. There's just nobody else. You know, when I was born into the world, the angels didn't come, you know, there to the, I was born in a hospital. And when I was born, the angels didn't come and stand outside that hospital and start rejoicing at my birth, but they did at his birth. They rejoiced at the birth of the Lord Jesus. The first chapter of Colossians tell us that in all things, Jesus has the preeminence. In all things, he is exalted above all. You need to seek his love to know. You need to seek the Lord Jesus that you may know, that you may have the greatest relationship that it's possible for man to have while we stand and sing.